1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 21. I'm sure I don't hear any sticky pages out there. Amen. 1 Samuel 17, beginning at verse 21. Do something a little different this morning. I'm going to have some readers, Brother Dan, for the scripture this morning. Have somebody read the first, read from verse 21 to verse 27. 1 Samuel 17, verse 21 to verse 27. Sister McCullough, you're always my stalwart there. Verse 21, going to verse 27. I caught off guard. I'm sorry. Ready.
And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. And he talked with them. Behold, the champion, the Philistines of Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and the king will enrich the man who kills him with riches, with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David said to the man who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in the same way, "So shall it be done to the man who kills him."
Read from verse 28 down to verse 36.
Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why have you come down, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Was it not but a word?" And he turned away from him toward another, and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again as before. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God."
Okay, Sister Teresa, I'd like you to read from verse 37 down to verse 46.
David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paws of the lion and out of the paws of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hands of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul's army, David, with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he said to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him, and he took his staff in his hand and chose his five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which had had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he distrained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. Mm-hmm. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Mm. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hands, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.
Brother Lay, would you read from 47 on down to 51, please?
And then all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Mm-hmm. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that they wounded Philistines fell on the way from Shoreham as far as Gath and Ekron.
Amen. That's good. Amazing. Short title for some short words this morning. The battle is not yours. The battle is not yours. Sister Jones, the battle is not yours. Sister McCully, the battle is not yours. Sister V, the battle is not yours. Brother Ernest, the battle is not yours. Sister Venice, the battle don't belong to you. I think the moment we get that together, we'll have a lot more peace, sister. We'll have a lot more peace. Give me a chair. Let me stand up with my slender build here on the chair. I'll actually wipe this off when I get through. I'm a big guy, you know? Now, if I was literally this big, And you are, Jordan, come here. And you were Jordan size. Stand right there. Would you have confidence enough to say, I can overcome you? Thanks, brother. Go ahead. Now, I don't necessarily have to be a person. I could be your finances. I could be your husband. I could be your health. Let me say this again. The battle is not yours. Who's the battle? It's the Lord's. According to what the text says, it's the Lord's. I wiped the chair out. I just had to do that. I just felt like doing that. A little backdrop for our history. Caleb. You all know who Caleb was, right? He was one of the original 12 spies that was sent into the land, right? He and who was that? Joshua. He and Joshua were the only two who came back with a positive report. Caleb was of the line of Judah. The line of Judah. Let me fast forward. Now, as they were allocating the lands to the different tribe, Caleb goes up to Joshua and says, I want Hebron, the hill country. Do you know who's in Hebron, the hill country? The descendants of Anak, the giant people. When I was standing up there, they were populating the hill country. Caleb is 85 years old. And he says to Joshua, give me the hill country of Hebron. Hey, that's a pretty big giant. They're inhabited by giants. But he's 85 years old and he's asking for a tall order. Let me tell you something. What is your perspective on God? If your perspective on God is that he's as small as I am, I can understand you being afraid. But if, sister, he's the same God that keeps the stars in perfect alignment and keep the earth spinning on its axis, when it stands up before me, I can say like David, even though you're bigger than me, I'm going to take you down to size. Caleb. And he not only asked for it, but he got that tall order. Joshua said, let it be so. According to what the Bible says, he drove every Anak descendant off those hills. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
85 years old. All the descendants were off the hill country. Now listen, I don't care where you are today, Trinity. The same God that did that for Caleb is the same God that could do it for you. I don't care if your business is shaky. I don't care if your house is shaky. Is there anything too hard for God?
All right.
Okay. They're all out of the hill country. Caleb is of the tribe of Judah. Now, if you get them out of the hill country, they got to go somewhere, Pastor. And I believe they went over to Philistia. Are you listening? So you got this big giant who is also a descendant of Anak. And he comes out to the army that kind of put his descendants out of the land. He stands up, he taunts the army. Well, listen, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. There's also a problem in Israel. Saul has not done everything God has told him to do. God told him to get rid of all the Amalekites, men, women, children, cattle, gold, whatever it was, destroy it. He got rid of everything except the king of the Amalekites. Samuel comes, talks to him, and says, he says to Samuel, I've done everything the Lord told me. He just lied. Samuel says, what is that bleeding that I hear? And the mooing of those oxen in the back. He says, Saul says, hey, we kept this to offer to the Lord. The Lord didn't tell you to do that. He told you to get rid of everything and everybody. Samuel says, now since you have disobeyed, the kingdom has been ripped from your hands. So this is the backdrop that we're talking about. We have a king in turmoil. We have Caleb, who advanced, has driven all the Anak descendants off. So you have this big giant. For 40 days, the text says, morning and evening, he made an assertion. It was comical. He kind of said, now you all coming out to battle, why ain't you fighting? Now, this is a common practice. Now, if I represent Philistia, and you represent Israel, I say, bring somebody out, let's fight. If he win, we'll serve you. If you win, we'll, vice versa. 40 days, morning, night, he did the same thing. Nobody came out with an answer. Nobody from Israel. Now, he's the same God who brought them out of Egypt. The same God who, for 40 years, their clothes never wore out. But nobody ever came out. Listen, when you have sin in your camp, your perspective on God is skewed again. You don't believe that you can still do what you used to do with the same God who's still your God because sin is in the camp. Listen, Jericho fell. Fortified city, thick walls. God gave them a plan. They kept that plan. The city was taken. Ai was the next city on the list. Small town. They went and tried to take Ai and couldn't do it. Why? Because sin was found in a camp. Brother Ernest, I'm almost through. David's father, Jesse, was from Bethlehem. Bethlehem. A whistle stop. A dust bowl. A dust bowl. It's amazing how God brings big stuff from little places. Bethlehem, a dust bowl. Jesse has what? He had what? Okay. Samuel was sent to, as I told you, the kingdom was rent from Saul's hand. Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to anoint the new king. Eliab was the first one he saw. He said, surely this has to be the one. God says, no. He paraded another one. Surely this got to be the one. No, that's not right. Keep going. So eventually all the sons were paraded before the prophet. Except for one. He says, are these all your boys? He said, no, I still got one. He's keeping the sheep. Go get him. You know what, Trinity, can I say? We too busy looking on the exterior and not looking at the heart. We too busy looking at status symbols and not looking where God wants you to look. He go get David. He anoints David from Bethlehem. You know what? God has a way when he has taken something from you and you refuse to let it go, Pastor. He got a way to send somebody there and show you this don't really belong to you no more. I got somebody else. Do you know what Goliath was actually doing? the spirit of the world was behind him. And the spirit of the living God was behind David. So you have two ideologies. One says, we're going to do this by my might and my strength. I'm kind of flabby now. I hadn't worked out. My might and my strength now. Are you listening to me? And then this side right here says, we do things a little different over here. That's why this small church right here can do what you do with your finances. Because God is in the middle of doing big things out of little things. When that happens, God gets the glory. Yeah. Two ideologies. One world, one of the Lord. He says, let's fight. Listen, y'all. If you dress, the Philistines say, if you dress to fight, why aren't you fighting? For 40 days, sister, the taunts go on. He's not really taunting Israel. He's taunting the living God. That's who he's taunting. 40 days, at morning and evening, he's doing the taunt. Nobody's stepping up, but I got my armor on. Nobody's stepping up. Why? Because I'm afraid. I lost my perspective on God. And it started from the very top, Saul. I'm glad that at this top, in this little small church, everybody trusts God. We walk by faith and not by sight. From the top down. I guess that's why y'all not afraid to do what you do, huh? The men saw him coming out with the taunt and they fled. Even though they were offered money, a new wife, and a tax-free ride in Israel, their father's house, nobody stepped up because the money don't deliver like God. The tax-free abatement don't deliver like God. My new wife don't deliver like God. So I'm not stepping up because this won't help me. Y'all catching it, right? I'm kind of rolling here, so just stay with me. David started asking questions. His eldest brother said, this ain't no Peyton Place, David. This ain't no soap opera. This is for real. What you doing here? Asking these questions. Who are you? You just a shepherd boy. That's all you are. Really. You better watch people's identity. For real. You don't know who is who. That could be your blessing, Sister Woodmore, and you don't even know it. You stuck not being able to go to battle and you messing with the blessing that's going to get you out. What you doing here? I know you jacked up. Yeah, I said it. I know you messed up. You just want to get out here and see the battle. That's all you want to do. I got your number. That's all you want to do. David blows right past that. He asks a question again. What's going to be done for the guy who does what he's supposed to do in Israel? And they give him the same response. Word gets to Saul. Listen, Saul had a problem with some type of evil spirit in the previous chapters. David will come and play the harp. Well, not like that, but You know what I'm saying? Play the harp. And he would be better. He'd be better. David goes back home. He's now summoned back. Interesting. And if you look in the text, Saul asks, whose son is that? But he played the harp for you. When you messed up with God, your recognition gets messed up too. Word gets to Saul. He comes to Saul. He said, I'm going to fight this Philistine for you. Saul said, you can't do it. Saul, everybody ain't scared. Billy, everybody ain't scared. You may be scared of your big giant problem, but everybody ain't scared like you, because everybody's perspective is not messed up like yours. He said, you can't fight him. He's a man of war from his youth. David begins to recount, this would happen when I was keeping my father's sheep, doing what I'm supposed to do. When they came, the animals, the wild animals came, one of them got one sheep, the text says, and he ran after it, got the sheep out of his mouth. When the thing would come back on him, he slew it. But he's a little, he's a youngster. But if God is for me, who in the world can be against me? He says, I can do it. Don't worry. But and he called him uncircumcised. Y'all know what that means, right? Just a sign in the flesh of a covenant with the living God, the male guy. He called him uncircumcised because he was literally saying, this guy don't have a relationship with God, and he's doing all this to you. Did you hear what I said? Yeah. We get pushed around by our problems, and we're strong enough to walk over them. We have God on our side. And we're standing around like we don't have nobody behind us. It's uncircumcised feeling. I'm going to take care of him. Just like I took care of the lion and the bear, I'm going to knock him off too. Shoot, y'all. You know what? If we ever woke up, they call America a sleeping giant. They have no idea. 12 apostles turned the world upside down. If we ever wake up. Saul was still looking at the size of the giant. He said, okay, perfect. You take my armor. You put it on. I said this before. I'm sure somebody's going to remember it, although I'm not real noteworthy. Saul was ready to give up something for somebody else to use that he wouldn't use. Yuck. Because I'm messed up. My perspective on God is jacked. Therefore, my armor's over here unused. And come on over here, David, put it on. David put on this stuff according to the text. And he got the helmet on, the armor. Put the sword, put the sheave on it, and clink, 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 cheek, cheek. He said, Saul, I can't use this because it's not tested. It's not battle tested for me. I already told you what works for me. The living God works for me. So he takes the armor off. And he gets his armor. Did he have a staff? Was kind of sling thing with some smooth rocks and kind of sound like Gideon with his 300 men and yeah. God does unconventional stuff to save his people. Okay, I'm going to fast forward. Let's get to the battle. Billy. He said it's not tested. I can't do this. And this big old giant still standing out there, y'all, waiting for somebody to come. waiting for somebody to come. Big boy on the chair. He's still standing, waiting. So he's gathering up the stuff that's going to make God shine. David is. 5 smooth stones out of a brook. Those are the prettiest stones you ever seen out of a brook, and the brook just run over them and sands them smooth. He picks up them things. Interesting enough, he put it in the sheave. He didn't even put it in the sling first. He put it in the sheave according to what the text says. Now, when the thing began to start, he started running. Well, getting ahead of myself again. When he come out, this Anak descended, said, "What in the world are you sending this mutt out here to fight me for?" That's the Billy translation. Don't nobody else say that. Why? What are you sending this guy out here to fight me for? I'm a warrior. What you sending this boy out here to fight me for? And he began to curse David by his God. But it's interesting enough, David said, "Yeah, this is what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut your head off. And then I'm going to feed you. The fowl of the air going to feed on your flesh. That's what I'm going to do to you. Are you listening?" Okay, that's filled in. The battle starts. David starts running. Listen, you all, I've been looking at guns now. I must confess I have a gun. My wife was nervous. And they say the best way to train, Sister Woodmore, is to train in a live environment. In live, stressful environments, because when you are in an environment and in trouble, what your body does, it draws the blood from your extremities and it kind of get it to your muscles only, internal muscles. And say, you better train enough to where your muscles remember what they're supposed to do, even if you don't tell them what to do. This boy, heavy situation, you all, start running, and they say if you train, you better train and move, not just like at a shooting range, because if you have to move, you in trouble. Bam, bam, I'd miss you. I'm dead now. This boy was moving, grabbing a stone out of his sling, shield, boom, slew, boom. The Bible says the rock sunk into the giant's head and he fell. They call it face planting. He face planted. He fell on his face dead. Bam. Now, David move up on this big old guy. And he did exactly what he said he was going to do, Pastor. He cut his head off, sent it to his hometown to show everybody giants can be conquered. They were conquered by a little shepherd boy. And I had no tools at all except a sling and some stones, and I killed him. Listen, once a bully get hurt, he used to be tough. Blam, blam! Everybody that stood behind this bully started running. Now, whatever happens to you, I don't want that to happen to me. So I'm in the wind. I want you all to remember, no matter how tough something look, it ain't tough to God. God knew how to humble something and make it show its true colors. Okay. Caleb was a Judean, tribe of Judah, ran out the Anak's clan off of there. David was also from the line of Judah, right? He was also from the line of Judah. From Bethlehem. There was another one who came from Bethlehem. That one was the Savior. Bethlehem of Judea, it's interesting that they say Bethlehem of Judea because they want this specific Bethlehem, this whistle-stop Bethlehem. He came and he did more than David did. He did more than Gideon did. Because what he did, he fixed my sin problem. Yeah. That was a bigger shot than David could have ever made with that giant. I was lost on the way to hell. This Judean person that come from this tribe saved me from Bethlehem, a whistle stop. And he saved you too. He not only saved you, but you can do what he calls you to do. No matter how big that giant is, you can do it. So, salvation from Bethlehem. Interesting. Did you all catch it today? Don't be afraid, because when you're afraid, you're trusting what you can do and not what God can do. You better trust God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Whew. Thank you that this battle is yours. The battle is the Lord's, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Now help for all those who needed to hear today, help them to hear, not only hear, Father, but to put into action. We know that fear is not of you. Therefore, perfect love casts out all fears, what your word says, Father. So make that a reality in our lives. And then empower us to live the life, and not only to live the life, Father, but to show men that there is a reality in serving the true and the living God. And we thank you for that. Thank you for using a broke-up vessel, Father, to do exactly what you told them to do. And then, Father, in the name of Jesus, bring it to pass, those results that you want, by the Spirit of God. And I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.